Let's bow our heads and our hearts on this first day of the week, Sunday, the 10th of December, the third Sunday in Advent. Oh my, how time flies, doesn't it? Well, Father, we come before your throne of grace, always recognizing that it's also your mercy seat. We don't come arrogantly, but we do come boldly. As you say, we should come boldly in our time of need, and we certainly have a time of need, not only for ourselves, but for the world around us, and for our country in America. Strange things happening. And we uplift the people of California that are trapped in fires and places in the country that rarely, if ever, see snow. They're having snow even right now. And here in New England. So we're just very thankful as we sing these Christmas carols, these wonderful, in many ways, songs that contain some real grassroots gospel, some good and strong theology. So we thank you for this, as always. In the name of our risen Savior, Jesus, the soon and coming King, that should be coming in your second advent. You came once, and now you'll come again. Oh, Jesus, we love you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, we're picking some songs today, and we'll ask Mrs. Lear to pick one.
Well, we begin with O Come All Ye Faithful.
All right, we're going to sing from page 2, O Come All Ye Faithful. And of course, the truth of the matter is, this is the call that's going out across the whole world right now. O come, all ye faithful. O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. Sing choirs of angels, sing in exaltation. O sing, all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God, all glory in the highest. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. I come and I adore you. I come and I adore you. I come and I adore you. Christ, my Lord. That word adore is rarely, if ever, used. And of course, it along with awesome is a good word to relate to with the Lord. I've heard some people say, oh, I just adore that restaurant, or I just adore that person. But really, adoration is a type of very strong and deep worship, and it really would be reserved, if you will, for the Lord himself. Okay,
rest you, merry gentlemen.
Okay, God rest you, merry gentlemen. This is interesting. The word gentleman isn't used very much anymore. God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. In Bethlehem in Jewry this blessed babe was born, and laid upon a manger upon this blessed morn. The little Mary did nothing take in scorn. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. From God our Heavenly Father a blessed angel came, and unto certain shepherds brought things of all the same. How that in Bethlehem was born the Son of God by name. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. The shepherds of these tidings rejoiced and much in mind, and left their flocks a-feeding in tempest, storm, and wind, and went to Bethlehem straightway the Son of God to find. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Think about the last verse, that the shepherds at those tidings rejoiced much in mind and left their flocks a-feeding in tempest, storm, and wind, and went to Bethlehem straightway the Son of God to find. Now, we have people that don't have time to worship the Lord because their job gets in the way. Can you imagine these shepherds? They know if they're leaving their flocks of sheep that there are predators out there. And of course, it also says that while these sheep were feeding, it was in tempest, storm, and wind. That's a pretty dangerous circumstance. But they believed, those shepherds believed, and they kept in mind the things that they were rejoicing for, what they had heard. We'll be reading this today in Luke chapter 1. And of course, that they went straight away to Bethlehem, the Son of God to find. How many people today would be willing to do that? Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's good. O Come, O Come, Emmanuel.
Page 4. O Come, Emmanuel. Of course, Emmanuel means God with us. Very important. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou wisdom from on high, and order all things far and nigh. To us the path of knowledge show, and cause us in her ways to go. Rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, great Lord of might, who to thy tribes on Sinai's height died, in ancient times once gave the law, in cloud and majesty and awe. Rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. God will come to thee, O Israel. God will come to thee. We always talk about people coming to the Lord. Well, there's a situation where God has come to us. And we say, well, so-and-so found the Lord. But the truth of the matter is, we're lost. The Lord knows where we are. And so he comes to us. He finds us where we are in the condition we're in and saves us there. How about the next one?
Yeah.
Away in a manger. Away in a manger, no crib for his bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the poor baby wakes. But little Lord Jesus no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky, and stay by my cradle till morning is nigh. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee today. Stay by me forever, and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and take us to heaven to live with thee there. And take us to heaven to live with thee there. Oh, yes. Bless all the little children. The idea, of course, that if a child should die, they go directly to heaven. And of course, as the song points out, it starts out talking about the little Lord Jesus with no crib but for a bed, but a manger. And of course, the cattle are lowing. What does that mean? They're making noise because they're probably saying, hey, you're sleeping on our food there. You know, we want to get to it and eat it. And the little baby Jesus awakes, and no crying he makes. And of course, I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my cradle till morning is nigh. You know, simple children's prayers, if you will, we teach them. You know, some of them are very, you know, simple prayers like, now I lay me down to sleep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. The idea, of course, that the child recognizes that the Lord is watching. Okay, one more. And let's make that something Hark the Herald Angels Sing. On page number 19 in your Christmas Carol book. Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all the nations rise. Join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim. Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Christ by heaven, the heaven adored. Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come. Offspring of the favored one. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with men to dwell. Jesus, Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life in all he brings. Risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by. Born that man may nor may die. Born to raise the sons of earth. Born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. So often, like if I'm wishing somebody that has become a Christian, has become born again, happy second birthday, or some form of reminding of that. And of course, this is said here, where it's the second birth.
Born to give us second birth.
Born to give us second birth. So not just born to give us first birth, but a second birth, which would be the born again experience. Mm-hmm. You know, glad you were born and glad you were born again. You know, that's important that we point that out to people and let them ask the question, well, what do you mean by that? Mm-hmm. So I'd be glad to tell you. In fact, maybe I should just sing it to you in a song like this. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time, behold he him come. Offspring of the
favored one.
So we'll be reading about that. The offspring of the favored one. Okay, well, generally speaking, I like to bring a little history and a little report from the field, so to speak, but I'm going to bypass this week. I have a couple of things I'd like to read. This comes from the Highway and Hedge Evangel, called the Bible Methodist. And of course, taken from Luke chapter 14, 23, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Because Christ came to earth. The greatest gift has been given. The greatest life has been lived. The greatest light has been seen. The greatest message has been heard. The greatest lesson has been taught. The greatest news has been published. The greatest love has been manifested. The greatest example has been set. The greatest call has been issued. The greatest sacrifice has been made. The greatest price has been paid. The greatest testament has been written. The greatest invitation has been extended. The greatest joy has been offered. The greatest privilege has been disclosed. The greatest transgression has been covered. The greatest pardon has been granted. The greatest malady has been cured. The greatest pollution has been cleaned. The greatest enemy has been conquered. The greatest power has been displayed. The greatest mystery has been divulged. The greatest question has been answered. The greatest blessing has been secured. The greatest assurance has been provided. The greatest inheritance has been willed. The greatest home has been prepared. And the greatest homecoming has been planned. Glory to God in the highest. I like that. You know, you've heard songs, the 12 days of Christmas. Some have done them with a humorous take on it. Some have tried to say that it was during a difficult time in men's history. There was like a code speak, you might say. And so this, on the first day of Christmas, my true friend gave to me, what? A heavenly perspective. Mm. Once again, we look to the coming of the Christ child. We're drawn to a need for traditions, family, friends, and faith. Traditions and holidays are the stuff that binds people together. I trust that the stories, thoughtful quotations, and YouTube links supplied in my 21st annual 12 Days of Christmas emails will help you and yours keep this Christmas focused on Christ's coming. I thank in advance all those who sent in stories and humorous moments of mirth for all of us to enjoy. And that portion was written by Terry Paulson. A Christmas thought for the day. If you look for me at Christmas, you won't need a special star. I'm no longer in Bethlehem. I'm right there when you are. You may not be aware of me amid the celebrations. You'll have to look beyond the stories and all the decorations. But if you take a moment from your list of things to do and listen to your heart, you'll find I'm waiting there for you. You're the one I want to be with. You're the reason that I came. And you'll find me in the stillness as I'm whispering your name. Love Jesus. Mm-hmm. I love to tell the story, Ordinary Matters. In weeks before Christmas 1933, a curious offer appeared in the daily newspaper of Canton, Ohio. Man who felt depression sting to help 75 unfortunate families. A Mr. B. Verdot promised to send a check to the neediest in the community. All they had to do was describe their plight in a letter and mail it to general delivery. The plunging economy had left fathers with no jobs, houses with no heat, children with patched clothing, and an entire nation, it seemed, without hope. The appeals poured in. I hate to write this letter, it seems too much like begging. My husband doesn't know that I am writing. He's working, but not making enough to hardly feed his family. Mr. Verdot, we are desperate circumstances. No one knows, only those who go through it. All of Canton knew of Mr. Verdot's offer. Oddly, no one knew Mr. Verdot. The city registry of 105,000 citizens contained no such name. people wondered if he really existed. Yet within a week, checks began to arrive at homes all over the area. Most were modest, about $5. All were signed, "Be or Adopt." Through the years, the story was told, but the identity of the man was never discovered. In 2008, long after his death, a grandson opened a tattered black suitcase that had collected dust in his parents' attic. That's where he found the letters, all dated December 1933, as well as 150 canceled checks. Mr. Beaver Dot was Samuel J. Stone. His pseudonym was just a hybrid of Barbara, Virginia, and Dorothy, the names of his three daughters. There was nothing privileged about Sam Stone. He wasn't affluent or impoverished, but he was willing to help. Ordinary man, ordinary place, but a conduct and a conduit of extraordinary price and grace. And in God's story, ordinary matters. And now your Christmas mirthful moment. When God sends you help, don't ask questions. She hurried to the pharmacy on Christmas Eve to get medication. Got back to her car and found that she had locked her keys inside. The woman found an old rusty coat hanger left on the ground. She looked at it and said, "I don't know how to use this." She bowed her head and asked God to send her some help. Within 5 minutes, a beat-up old motorcycle pulled up, driven by a bearded man who was wearing an old biker skull rag. He got off his motorcycle and asked if he could help. She said, "Yes, my daughter is sick and it is Christmas time. I've locked my keys in my car. I must get home. Please, can you use this hanger to unlock my car?" He said, "Sure." Walked over to the car, and in less than a minute, the car was open. She hugged the man and through her tears said, "Thank you so much. You're a very nice man." The man replied, "Lady, I am not a nice man. I just got out of prison yesterday. I was in prison for car theft." The woman hugged the man, sobbing, "Oh, thank God, you even sent me a professional." And now your Christmas moment. Home Free and Chris Rupp provided an inspiring rendition of "What Child Is This?" The Christmas classic always gets me in the holiday spirit, and this performance is no exception. Start your first of 12 days of Christmas experience by listening to those beautiful harmonies and powerful lyrics about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, we'll read some more of these before Christmas. So if you'll turn to the first chapter of the book of Luke, I'm going to ask Mrs. Lear to read for us today. Mm-hmm. Kathy, dear, if you will go to Luke chapter 1, we won't read the entire chapter. Let's start with verse 26.
Okay.
Yeah.
Luke chapter 1, starting at starting at verse 26, and I'll read through verse 80 from the English Standard Version. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day, they came up to circumcise the child. And they would have called him Zechariah after his father, but his mother answered, "No, he shall be called John." And they said to her, "None of your relatives is called by this name." And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all their neighbors. And all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What then will this child be? for the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from old, that we should be saved from our enemies, and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness, and in the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and became strong in the spirit. And he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. That was Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 80 from the English Standard Version.
Well, thank you, honey. Well done. Very well read. Well, needless to say, there's tremendous content here. Last week, we chose to read about the birth of Jesus and wait till this week to read about the birth of the harbinger. And the harbinger, of course, one coming before, actually John the Baptist. And of course, interestingly enough, John the Baptist's first cousin of Jesus in terms of familial situation. I want to draw your attention to the birth of Jesus foretold as verse 26. It was the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth. Now, it's important to understand the angel Gabriel was sent from God. This is not a rebellious angel, not a fallen angel. This is an angel on assignment in Gabriel, like Michael is an archangel. And the order of angels, let's say, in the chain of command, they're high up there. And so Gabriel goes to Mary, and to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, and of course to a virgin. And we have to emphasize that because that's one of the things prophesied in Old Testament scriptures, whether it was Isaiah or Jeremiah, predicting that when the Messiah would come, Messiah would be born of a virgin. And of course, is there anything that would make somebody's birth stand out more than another? We see the lineage of certain people, that their father was a king, or the grandfather was a king, or, you know, all the generations of kings, but they weren't born of a virgin. It was nothing, like, say, supernatural or extraordinary about the birth of these people, with the exception of one of the things most supernatural, if you will, unlike anything that anyone else has experienced, because Jesus is the only person, if you will, ever born of a virgin. Now, it's interesting that the angel Gabriel greeted Mary by saying, Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. Any of us would be glad to hear from an angel. And sometimes there are people in our lives who, though they're not angel, they're real people, they may say something like that too. You're a favored one. The Lord is with you. I would like to believe, particularly as I'm facing critical circumstances in my health and situation, I'd like to believe and do believe the Lord is with me even through all of this. Am I a favored one? That part is certainly nothing that I ascribe to or think I'm a favored one in that. It's just that the things that I'm going through, I can say the Lord is with me, or I wouldn't be able to go through them. So the angel continues to explain to her, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. Now, why would he say you're going to conceive in your womb? This means that it's not that you're going to go find a baby along the side of the road or on the front step of the church, so to speak, in a basket. No, this is going to be a baby that's going to be born from your body. And of course, she's thinking about this as, and of course, wants to know. Of course, is being given the details. He'll be given the throne of his father David and will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. So we're seeing that both Jesus as King and Jesus as Savior, Jesus as man and Jesus as God, and these things have been debated in many theological studies throughout history. Which it was, he was man or was he God? Or was he God but he wasn't man? And if he's just man, then he wasn't God. But obviously we have the theology pointed out to us right here in Scripture that explains that. And of course, Mary had to ask those questions. I mean, how is it possible that this could happen? But she did say, behold, I am a servant of the Lord. In other words, repeating back what she had been told. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Okay, one of the things we see about ministering angels, they're very direct. They come, they're kind of scary in a sense. But they tell you the truth, they get to tell you, and they don't hang around. Then they go somewhere else because they're on assignment. It's like saying, okay, I'm on an assignment. I'm only here for one reason and one reason only. One purpose and one purpose alone. So, of course, the question that she was asking was, how can this be possible? Because I'm a virgin. And she was greatly troubled by the saying, especially trying to discern, as it talks about there in 27, 28, 29. She was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what type of greeting this might be. And the angel had to tell her, don't be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive. And of course, she wanted to know, how is this possible since I'm a virgin? In verse 34. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I'm a virgin? Okay, she's just heard all this amazing stuff, but she's questioning it. And she wasn't afraid to question. Just the same as with us. Don't be afraid of questioning the Lord on things that you don't understand. Don't do it arrogantly. Don't do it defiantly. Don't do it rebelliously. But don't be afraid to question the Lord, saying, Lord, I don't understand. I want to. So if you could explain this to me a little better, it would really help. And I've certainly in myself, in my own life, asked the Lord many things like that. And so the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Okay, now the understanding of what the Holy Spirit will come upon you and will overshadow you, because this wasn't supposed to be some kind of strange sexual experience or anything like that, and not to be replicated like when Mary was married to Joseph. We presume that it, as a wife and to her husband, that she probably did have marital relationships, conjugal relationships with Joseph. But this experience of the Holy Spirit overshadowing her and coming upon her was to be very different. Now, did she feel it happen? When it happened? And we're not exactly sure of that, of course, but as you read on, when Mary goes to visit her cousin, and just the greeting, and Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb, which meant that John the Baptist, in his mother's womb, Elizabeth, recognized Mary's voice and somehow, some way, or whatever she was saying. And at that time, the baby leapt for joy, and then Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? So here we have a situation where Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit and she's repeating the things that were said by the Archangel Gabriel. Somebody filled with the Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, is not repeating evil things or repeating things that aren't true. Not to say that we can't be infallible. I mean, we can be, but when you're speaking by the Holy Spirit, you're speaking by what God is saying. And of course, the fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. And we go on to Mary's song of praise, which is called the Magnificat. Many people don't know it as that, but that's basically what it's called, the Magnificat. And it's actually a song of praise, so I guess it would seem that Mary sang that song. I don't know what the tune was for it. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever. And Mary remained with her, meaning with Elizabeth, about 3 months, and returned to her home. So obviously, hearing that with a male voice, I didn't try to replicate a female voice in singing that. But you might say, if that's the song of praise, the Magnificat, then Mary was singing it. Just the same as we might be given a song in our hearts, and of course, I suppose when I say something like that, there are certain denominational theologies wouldn't appreciate it. They'd say, well, that's very charismatic, that's very Pentecostal, that you just break out on a song that you didn't know. In this particular case, the song was in a known language, so it wasn't glossolalia. In a sense, it was a known language. She broke out and I guess she sang it in her native tongue, which would have been probably Hebrew or Aramaic. And she sang that song as to the Lord. Now think about this, folks. You got a song in your heart that the Holy Spirit has put there. What did he put that song in your heart for? What's the reason for it? Well, it must be a good reason. Sometimes when you're discouraged or you don't understand or, you know, you've been under trial or whatever else, the Lord gives you a song to sing in the night. He gives you a song of encouragement to sing. And you might say, well, I don't feel like singing right now. Well, I really feel like throwing up instead. I feel like being something else. And the Holy Spirit said, look, I gave you the song, sing it. And most people say, well, I'm not musical, I can't write music. Well, you're not being asked to write music. Although, isn't it interesting if you study the words of songs written by the great masters? Many of them will say that they were given the words. They were given the melodies. They were given that they believe it was by divine inspiration. And of course, those songs not only do us good, but do others good as well. So think about that this Advent season. Think about how you can be a blessing to the Lord. And I always have liked to ask the question, well, if we're celebrating Jesus' birth, it's Jesus' birthday, and for years, and one of the churches where I served as pastor in Northampton, New Hampshire, we had Happy Birthday Jesus. We invited people to come, and we actually put it in the newspaper with a really good graphic with a big birthday cake and said, Happy Birthday Jesus. You know, and some people say, well, I don't celebrate Christmas. Okay, don't celebrate Christmas. You think that's a pagan holiday or comes from pagan Babylonian thing? Well, fine. But do you celebrate the birth of Jesus? What's wrong with celebrating the birth of Jesus? And of course, some people would say, but it's not in the Bible. Where's the celebration of Jesus' birth? Well, excuse me, what do we just read? It is in the Bible. Of course it is a celebration of Jesus' birth, and it's significant for so many reasons. The same thing is the resurrection of Christ is significant and will be celebrated. And the second coming of Christ, of course, we're not celebrating that yet because it hasn't happened yet, the second Advent. So don't get mixed up with the enemy trying to throw you off course. Sing the song that the Holy Spirit has put in your heart to sing, and we'll all be blessed for it. Yes, we will. Well, Father, thank you that you have given us more gifts than anyone could ever handle or carry. And that we use these gifts as 1 Corinthians 14:40 says, let all gifts be done decently and in order. It's not that you want us to be religious. It's not that you want us to be so methodical and so orderly that it's a real turnoff. It's just that you're saying that in 1 Corinthians 14:40, that all things be done decently and in order, means done the way that you had intended. The gifts used the way you intended them to be. And that we pledge to do in your name, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus our King. Amen and amen.